Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on NOVAM Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. It's about 7 past the hour. For those of you listening online or through KPHX or via Air America, when you hear Bill Crowley's newscast, as I just did in my headphones, listening to Crowley report how Pelosi has been meeting with various Democratic members of Congress now reassigning committee chair positions. And as you listen, like the new person on the Environmental Committee to replace James Inhofe where's he from, Oklahoma? A guy who says that global warming is a fraud and wanted to do everything in his power to abolish the EPA. As I hope publicity is gotten or attention is paid to these new committee chair assignments, because I think it will put into sharp focus the difference between the people put in those positions by someone like George W. Bush, an oil man who doesn't give a damn about the environment or regulatory devices in order to keep capitalism from eating us all alive, and a Democratic Party leadership that is also business-friendly, pro-business, pro-capitalism, but understands that unbridled capitalism means that so many millions of people are going to suffer so needlessly in order to satisfy somebody else's total greed. I'm a liberal. I'm not a progressive. I'm a progressive liberal, but I am a liberal. So if you're just tuning in saying, well, let's go listen to that progressive talk show, I might want. No. I'm a liberal. This is from L.A. These stories, see, the silly season is starting. Christmas, USA. I guess a battle has already been joined about whether it's going to be Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. Last year, I just about lost it. The evangelical Christian self-appointed religious leaders were demanding that the stores use Christmas rather than Happy Holidays. In other words, they were demanding that the birth of Christ continue to be corrupted by commercialism. It's just astonishing to me how ass-backwards some of these so-called evangelical leaders can be. But anyway, that battle apparently was settled last year, so now chains like Federated Department Stores, which includes Macy's, they will be saying Merry Christmas. What was intriguing last year was the misinformation, the lies, the deceit, the scummy comments put out there by people like Bill O'Reilly on Fox, most of these people on Fox News or ABC Radio, that employees of these huge chains were forbidden from saying Merry Christmas. Oh, God. So the silly season has started. We will report periodically over the next 5 weeks about the insanity as America gets to wallow in the most perverted holiday, I think, ever invented by humankind. The birth of Jesus. Now, let's go with the simple message. Let's go with the mythology. The mythology is, I know there are Christian preachers who tell you that Jesus was a rich man, wants everybody to be rich, regardless of what he said or what's recorded that he said. I realize those people, those preachers do exist. Most of them drive Bentleys on Mondays and Rolls's on Tuesdays and have sex with the various parishioners on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But let's go with the mythology that Jesus was this humble carpenter's son who was born in a manger and had a simple message. If that is true, then the people who preach this theology of greed and gimme-gimme are really, really, really going to burn in hell, aren't they? Huh? I mean, they are. They're just going to fry. They're going to roast. It's awful. It's just awful what they've done to Christmas, the Christians. Whew. Getting back to the story from L.A., a talking Jesus doll has been turned down by the Marine Reserve's Toys for Tots program. You've heard of that. You all have contributed. I know you have. We have. You take toys, new toys. You go buy a toy, and when you see the Marine Reserve's big drum in your local mall or shopping area, you put the nice toy in there because you know that the Marine Corps is going to make sure that kids who otherwise would not have gifts from Santa, not the baby Jesus, but from Santa, will now have them. So the Marine Reserves has turned down a talking Jesus doll. A company in suburban Los Angeles offered to donate 4,000 of these things, which they quote Bible verses, and the battery-powered Jesus is one of several dolls manufactured by a company called One to Believe, which is a division of the Valencia, California-based Beverly Hills Teddy Bear Company. These dolls are based on biblical figures. The charity, the Marine Reserve's Toys for Tots program, said, no thanks. A spokesman for Toys for Tots Foundation in Quantico, Virginia, said that the toys are donated to kids based on financial need, and, quote, we don't know anything about their background, their religious affiliations. And the Marines, according to the spokesman, quote, don't profess one religion over another. We can't take a chance on sending a talking Jesus doll to a Jewish family or a Muslim family. Well, that's true, but on the other hand, I don't think you'll be dropping Christmas gifts off at a Jewish family's home or a Muslim family's home. Come on, Marines. I mean, it's Christmas. It's only... Oh, see, how this is getting very confusing, isn't it? A spokesman for the company involved here said the Toys for Tots decision left him, quote, surprised and disappointed. The spokesman says the idea was for them to be three-dimensional teaching tools for kids. I believe, as a church-going person, he says, anyone can benefit from hearing the words of the Bible, end quote. Well, of course, that's maybe certain sections of the Bible. But, you know, the part where Lot has sex with his two daughters, that's probably not a very good part for the little Jesus doll to talk about. Huh? Right, Kathy?
Pull the string and Jesus is just saying no to incest.
Yeah, right. Well, this was long before Jesus' time, you see. This is back in the bad old days of the Israelites. Because Sarah turned around and watched Sodom being destroyed, so as a result of that, oh, God, it's just too much. What?
I'm still stuck on the Jesus candle from a few years ago, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Scent of a Savior.
Scent of a Savior.
Or whatever, right. You know, buy this $10 candle. This is what Jesus smells like.
Burn Jesus in your home this Christmas.
I'm not sure I want to know what Jesus smells like.
Well, back in that time, most people smelled like hell, no pun intended. I mean, they didn't have Ban roll on, did they? Of course not.
So just go into any men's locker room and wave around some frankincense and you get some idea. I'm just not sure I want to spray it in my bathroom.
No, I don't think so. According to this company that makes the Jesus talking Jesus doll, according to their website, the button-activated bearded Jesus, dressed in hand-sewn cloth outfits and sandals, recites scripture, such as, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. It has a $20 retail value, and the Marine Corps guy also questioned whether children would welcome a gift designed for religious instruction. The Marine Corps guy said, look, kids want a gift for the holiday season that is fun. And in 2005, the Marines Reserve's Toys for Tots program distributed 18 million stuffed animals, games, toy trucks, and other gifts to kids. So That's a good charity to contribute to. Toys for Tots. Give them something, you know. Or give them five or eight somethings. What, Kathy?
No, I disagree. I think this doll could be lots of fun, just maybe not in the way that...
All right, that's enough.
...was intended by the
manufacturer. That's enough. I know what you have in mind, and you want to get our studio burned to the ground, don't you? Break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. With my plastic Jesus, I'll go far. Riding down on the roadway with a nose up in the air. A wreck may be ahead, but he don't mind. Trouble come and he don't seek. He just keeps his...
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
Is that Johnny Mathis? Wow. Christmas carols. Kathy, we haven't even had Thanksgiving yet. I guess that's not a Christmas carol. That's a seasonal song, right? Okay. 22 past the hour. You got this from Bruce in New Jersey. Hey, Mike, just a thought. Even though this did happen to a German citizen, how do you think this headline and a little paragraph would go over with the American people? The German government authorizes an early dawn paramilitary raid on the home of Donald Rumsfeld this morning. Mr. Rumsfeld was abducted and removed from the country without prior authorization or notification from the U.S. government. Mr. Rumsfeld is currently being held and questioned in a secret prison in an undisclosed location. Yeah, that's thanks, Bruce. I think people in this country would go a little bit blinky over that kind of a story. If you open up your newspaper tomorrow morning, the Times or whatever paper you read, and all of a sudden there it was that some paramilitary group had snatched Rumsfeld, and yet that's what the United States has been doing. We've done it to some degree in the past, but it's become a matter of sanctified foreign policy now where it concerns the Bush crime family to go into any sovereign country we want to go into and steal people and send them somewhere to be tortured. Based on what? Based on some sort of misdirected sexual feelings of Dick Cheney, I think. That's how bad it is. Here are some of the new rules that Nancy Pelosi wants to impose on the U.S. House of Representatives. Thanks to Billy Shears, who sent this to me. No House member may accept any gift of any value from any lobbyist or any firm or association that hires lobbyists. I like that. Nothing. Nothing. Rule two, no free travel, which means an end to the corporate jet line every Friday at Reagan National Airport. You know, where the corporate jets would be lined up to take these Republican toadstools back to their home districts. Number three, no free tickets to Redskins games. No meals of any value, even at a McDonald's. No front row seats at entertainment venues. No. No, no. In other words, no free tickets to anything. Here's the next one. House members will no longer be able to slip in special interest projects on unrelated legislation. Such measures will no longer be allowed on a bill once negotiations between the Senate and the House are complete. That's another good one. This is what the Republicans, this is what these evil snakes have been doing. You know, the Senate, the House would pass a bill based on Tom DeLay's insanity. It would go to the Senate, and based on Frist's insanity, but a little bit of a non-insanity from some of the Democratic senators, some of the more egregious sections would be taken out, then go to the House and Senate conferees, and they would agree on this, this, and this, and then everybody would go home, except somebody working on the sly for Tom DeLay, who would stick around and slip language into the bill after it had been agreed upon, that said, oh, by the way, down here in Representative X's district, we're going to X, Y, and Z. No more of that. Oh, and down here in X's district, Representative X, it was always a Republican. Here's another one. All bills will be made available to the public a full 24 hours before a final vote. Presumably, this gives watchdog groups a chance to flag any skullduggery. How about that? Do you know what that means now? So when the conferees do work something out, when the House and the Senate do come together on a bill, and it is ready to go to the moron in the White House for his veto, before it leaves, it'll be posted, one assumes, on the internet. We're common folk like you and me and activist groups, Nader's groups, can take a look at the language and see, okay, how are they screwing us this time? Or how are we benefiting this time? Can you imagine that happening in a Republican-controlled House? There's a couple more. I'll share them with you after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Stay with us.
Up America, one flying monkey at a time. It's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, Pelosi, we're almost finished here with some of these rules that Pelosi would like to institute into the new Congress. No free travel, no House member can accept any gift of any value from anybody, no free tickets, no meals, not even at McDonald's, no longer able to slip in special interest projects on unrelated legislation, and all the bills will be made available to the public a full 24 hours before a final vote. And here's another one. Under the new Pelosi rules, lobbyists will no longer be able to use the House gym. Lobbyists will no longer be allowed onto the House floor or to use the cloakroom just off the floor, preventing last-minute arm twisting. And then this one, what's more, no member or staffer of the House will be able to negotiate for employment in the public sector without disclosing such contacts to the House Ethics Committee. And finally, all of this will be audited, investigated by a new Office of Public Integrity, and that office reports directly and only to the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Well, I think just getting rid of Tom DeLay would have handled probably 90% of that.
Yeah.
Didn't he have lobbyists actually writing legislation in committee rooms?
Well, that started in the Reagan years. But what Tom DeLay did, he said the only lobbyists to be considered would be the lobbyists whose firms made heavy donations to the Republican Party only. If they donated to Democrats, those lobbyists would not be allowed to even present their vile case. And see, I believe in eliminating lobbyists, the K Street crowd, as a species. They should be not denied any entry. And I'm talking about corporate lobbyists. Now, I believe in lobbyists for unions, for organized labor, for the special interests that the Republicans hate. children's advocacy groups, battered spouse groups, environmental groups, product safety groups, occupational safety and health groups. I think those lobbyists should have access to members of Congress. Again, they shouldn't be able to buy them lunch or buy them anything. They should just be able to sit down and talk to them. But any corporate interests should be utterly and absolutely denied access. A corporation is not a voter. And I don't care about this psychopathic Supreme Court ruling several years ago that said a corporation had the same rights as a U.S. citizen. That is insane. That is completely mad. Now, this is from Rick about the Jesus doll. Rick writes, just caught the part about the Jesus doll and the hand-sewn clothes it wears. So the little bugger is too good for machine-sewn clothes from China like I wear? Reason enough not to give him away to kids. And then Rick says, if the little Jesus doll said, stop all war, love thy neighbor, peace to all men of goodwill, treat all people of all religions with respect, etc., then it would be a great gift. Yeah. That'll never happen, Rick. I wouldn't be surprised if the little Jesus doll says, watch out for queers! What, we have a wingnut on the line here? Okay. Reverend? We have a Reverend Bill from Phoenix. Reverend, welcome to the program.
Yes, Mr. Malone?
Yes.
I have heard you several times in the past, and I have not... even though I was outraged by the things you have said, I have not been compelled until now to actually call up and say and state my total outrage at your blasphemy of the Christian religion and the teachings of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Oh, God. Really? Well, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Well, I think I just put it in a nutshell. I know now that
you may be in a nutshell, but what is it you're trying to say, Bill?
I'm trying to say that me and my congregation are going to prayers, all 67 of us are going, and we are expanding, my good man.
Yeah.
So don't underestimate us.
Oh, I don't.
And we are going to say a congregational prayer to have you removed from the airwaves for this blasphemy which you are spouting off over national airwaves.
Like what? What blasphemy, Bill?
There was not one thing that you did not say that it said
no,
that
no,
was
no.
Not
give me an example. What did I say? Come on now, because the network will probably listen to you and they'll probably take me off the air. But you got to prove that I was blasphemous. So what's your proof? What did I say that was blasphemous?
Well, I would have to clear my mind just for a few minutes to recall what you said. But anyone who was listening knows that you were saying blasphemous things earlier.
Bill, let me ask you something. Are you part of a congregation? Do y'all handle serpents?
No, we do not.
You know,
but we would not be afraid to.
Well, then, if
it was a test of our faith.
Well, it is. I'm giving you a challenge right now. Here's what I want you to do, Reverend Bill. I want you to do. When do you have your meetings? On Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday? When do you have your meeting?
We have biweekly meetings. We have a middle of the week, and we have Sundays.
Okay.
We have Wednesdays and Sundays.
Okay. Wednesday coming. That's tomorrow. What time? About 7 o'clock in the sanctuary?
Yeah, 7:30 to be exact.
Okay. I'm going to FedEx you a bag of timber rattlers from North Georgia mountains here where I live. And they're real nasty little bastards, especially this time of year, because they like to be left alone because it's cold and, you know, snakes are cold-blooded. I'm going to send you a bag of them. And here's a test of your faith, Bill. I want when the bag comes via FedEx, and they'll probably be making a lot of noise, rattling around. Don't let that disturb you. That's just their way of saying, I'm about to kill you, sucker. But when you get the bag, I want y'all to take it into your sanctuary and open that bag and stick your hand in there and grab a serpent. Because it says in the Bible that your faith should be strong enough to take up serpents. You do know that part of the Bible, right?
Yes, I had know that. But
right.
We do not. We're not compelled to.
Oh, so you're not really a Christian then?
Yes, I am.
No, you're
and
not. If you won't handle a serpent.
You know, it seems that I have been fated to combat these atheistic mics over the airwaves. There's a local fellow named Michael Newcomb who proclaims himself a Christian, but I believe he secretly is an atheist, and that's why he has spoken highly of you.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to say congregational prayers.
What is a congregational prayer?
Prayers all together by the congregation.
Oh, I see.
Rather than separately.
I see. Has your congregation been successful at praying any other talk show hosts off the air?
Yes, we have, as a matter of fact.
Would you pray Limbaugh off the air for me?
We have no problem with Rush Limbaugh.
But he's a drug user. He goes to the Dominican Republic to have sex with boys. What do you mean you have no problem with him?
You have no proof of that. That's just more
well,
of
I
your
do,
slander.
Well, I do. I've seen the movie. You haven't seen it? Do you know what YouTube is? You haven't been to YouTube?
I did not know what you're talking about.
Well, okay.
And you're slandering. See, slander is your specialty. Slander and blasphemy. Blasphemy against our Lord and Savior
well,
Jesus
did
Christ
you
is
know,
slander against
you know he
Christians.
Makes you know Limbaugh makes fun of the handicapped. Right? The way he made fun of Michael Fox.
Well, you're
is
trying
that
to
okay?
You're
is
trying
it okay?
To
is it okay to
in other directions?
Is it okay to make fun of the sick and the infirm?
Let me ask you a question. Are
no,
you
no,
a
no, 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 no. Is it okay to make fun of the sick and the infirm? What would Jesus do? Let me ask you something, Reverend.
That was all in good humor.
Let me ask
you
something. Let me ask something, Reverend Bill. Did Jesus ever sit down and gather the boys around him and say, "Hey, did you hear the latest about a Jew, a cripple, and a leper?" Did he ever do that?
You are trying to steer this discussion off of yourself.
Did Jesus ever take narcotics?
You are a self-professed atheist. Are you not?
Oh, of course I am. Are you out of your mind? Absolutely, I'm an atheist.
Okay. Then that you have just, by identifying yourself on the air as a self-professed atheist.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that we are going to pray congregationally to have you removed from the airwaves. And we have been successful at this in the past.
Reverend Bill, you're starting.
And I believe that was...
Who have you gotten off the air, Reverend Bill?
What?
No, who? Who have you prayed off the air?
Well, we prayed you off the first time that you yes. You are no longer with that
All
network.
All right, Bill, you're getting boring. Can't you come on, man, come up with something to entertain my audience.
What do you want to hear?
I don't know. Just can you sing? Can you sing a little Ozzy Osbourne for me?
See, there you go. See, you're trying to
Are you
be
familiar?
Little.
No, no,
you're
I'm
trying
serious.
To be little and make entertainment.
No, I'm trying. This
and
is
you're
a, this
baiting.
Is,
you are baiting so, me this, as this other Mike does on the local show.
This is talk radio, Bill. It's supposed to be entertaining. Can you sing anything from Black Sabbath?
I don't even know what you're talking about. What All is right. that, some kind of satanic lyrical?
No, that's Ozzy Osbourne.
I don't. No, I don't.
They
I don't,
bite
I,
the. They bite the heads off of living rats on stage.
No, we sing pure Christian spirituals.
All right, give me some of that. Go ahead.
Onward, Christian soldiers.
That's good. Keep going, Bill. Keep going, Bill.
To war with the band of angels going on before. That's the kind of thing that we
No, let's
sing.
Do it again. Let's do it together. Onward, Christian soldiers. Are you singing in C or D? Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus. That's Bush's, Rush's theme song, isn't it?
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
So, baby, about 10 before the hour. Okay, what else we got here? Is that guy for real? I don't know. Who knows? Sounded for real to me. Sound like preacher that used to live in our neighborhood when I was a kid growing up. The top Marine has told CBS News, David Martin of CBS News, that there was no plan for post-invasion Iraq. The Bush crime family and this filthy Don Rumsfeld, who has sent tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people now to their deaths, had no plan. General Mike Hagee, as David Martin says, there's no one in the Joint Chiefs on the Joint Chiefs who has visited Iraq more often than General Mike Hagee, whose term as Commandant of the United States Marine Corps ended yesterday. Hagee took over the Marine Corps about 2 months before the invasion of Iraq, and throughout his years as Commandant, he made a point of going there every 2 months to do a firsthand assessment of the battlefield. Now, he was also a commander of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force during the lead-up to the war, and Hagee was in charge of planning for the Marines' original push to Baghdad. So David Martin asked him about one of the enduring mysteries of the invasion. Why was there no real plan for running the country once Saddam Hussein was pushed out? And Hagee says that he was deeply concerned about who would take charge of major Iraqi cities like Najaf as the Marines pushed through those cities on their way to Baghdad. Hagee says he asked his boss again and again who would take charge of those cities. He wanted to know what the plan was for Phase 4. Phase 4 is that phase that that usually follows the end of major combat operations in a combat situation. In other words, Phase 4 is what comes after, quote, mission accomplished, end quote. Hagee says that he sent his questions up the chain of command, and you know they don't have to go very damn far if he was a general, and he never heard anything back. Nothing. That's like working in radio. where you never, you know, when you work in radio, if you call, now it's not true with this gang of reprobates I'm working with now, but it used to be, even with Air America, we could call Air America with a question and never hear anything back. Nothing. But this involved people's lives. This involved the destruction of an entire nation. This involved the political upheaval of the United States. This involved lies and death and murder and depleted uranium. This involved attacking arguably the cradle of civilization and destroying it. And nobody in the Rumsfeld crime operation knew what the hell they were doing. Now, who said that? Ted Kennedy? No. General Mike Hagee, United States Marine Corps Commandant. Not that that matters, but to you right-wing night crawlers out there, maybe you'll listen to a General Mike Hagee quicker than you'd listen to a Ted Kennedy, although a Ted Kennedy would probably tell you more information that you need to live your damn life than a General Mike Hagee. Speaking of you right-wing night crawlers, where are you? Where are you, cowards? The election's over. Call me or I'll come through the radio and throttle you. No, seriously, why don't you give me a call and give me your assessment, you Republicans, you Bush suckers, you right-wingers, you neocons. You know what? Are you going to just sit back in the corner and suck your thumbs for the next 2 years hoping that you're going to get power back? You're not. Not in my lifetime, not in your lifetime, not in your children's lifetime, not in your grandchildren's lifetime. You guys really screwed it, and America got hip to what you were doing. It's over. But I certainly welcome any comment or phone call from any Republican or right-winger or Bush supporter out there. Got an email from George in Alhambra, California. Mike, you're probably aware of this, but just in case, you can go to crooksandliars.com and download a video clip of Newt Gingrich in 1994 pledging, this is after the so-called Republican Revolution, where Newt Gingrich pledged to, quote, spend the next 2 years investigating corruption in the Clinton administration, end quote. Gingrich goes on to say in this video clip, quote, I do not know of any administration in modern times with as many different potential scandals all around it, end quote. That was Newt Gingrich in 1994. The Clinton administration had been in power for 2 years. And now we're talking, the Democratic Party leadership is saying, well, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't impeach him. You know, the American public is going to say it's vindictiveness or revenge. No, the American public is not. The American public is going to say, shuffle this garbage out the door. Kick these bastards to the curb. Let them be picked up on trash day and get us back on a constitutional curve. Elizabeth Holtzman. Last weekend, was at a conference on Veterans Day, on Saturday, the Impeach for Change conference in Philadelphia. A couple of excerpts from what she said. She says she's making a strong case for impeachment. She's a former prosecutor. Newsweek did a poll 2 weeks ago. It's a critical poll that showed that a majority of Americans are open to the idea of impeaching George W. Bush. And there's more here, and we'll talk about it when we come back from the break. You know, this talk about, well, the Democrats have got to get back to governing. These Democrats in charge, are going to be in charge, are adroit enough. They're political enough to run this country, to get this country back on an even keel, and to prosecute the sons of bitches who have attempted to destroy constitutional government in the U.S. To do otherwise is to condone what the Bush crime family has done. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Elizabeth Holtzman, former federal prosecutor and member of Congress, Brooklyn District Attorney. She was also a vital member of the House Judiciary Committee during the impeachment of Nixon. And she is the one of the authors, two authors, the other one is Cynthia Cooper, of the book The Impeachment of George W. Bush, A Practical Guide for Concerned Citizens. And over the weekend, as a matter of fact, on Veterans Day, she spoke in Philadelphia. Philadelphia. It's hard to say for some reason. About impeaching this criminal who now occupies the highest office in the land. She mentions the Newsweek poll a couple of weeks ago that showed a majority of Americans are open to the idea of impeaching Bush. And Elizabeth Holtzman said what is amazing is the fact that we Americans get it, even though there's no discussion of impeachment on, say, the Today Show or the Situation Room. The mass media doesn't refer to it except to say it's a bad thing. And if it happens, well, it's the Democrats being Democrats. So, as Holtzman says, there's no discussion of impeachment, yet the American people get it, that this president has subverted the Constitution and represents a threat to our democracy. Holtzman says the interesting thing is those opposed to impeachment are 44%, and some of those, she believes, were so disgusted by the partisan impeachment conducted by the Republicans, the abusive, improper impeachment conducted by them against Clinton, that they said, impeachment, never again. And what Americans don't remember, according to Holtzman, is how Congress did do the right thing in the right way with regard to Nixon. She says, I want to give you a comparison of these polls with the polls on Clinton, because it shows you where the American people really are. 44% oppose the impeachment of Bush. 63% opposed the impeachment of Bill Clinton. And yet Congress went ahead with it. 51 to 53% of the American public are open to the idea of impeaching George Bush. 26% were in favor of the impeachment of Bill Clinton. And yet the Congress went ahead. Holtzman says that's a huge, huge, important statement. The American people, not for the first time, are ahead of the politicians in Washington. But I want to tell you, she says, the American people can make Washington sit up and pay attention because they did it once before. It's important to consider because sometimes people get discouraged. Richard Nixon was elected in November of 72 with one of the biggest landslides in the history of the United States. And that's because the criminal cover-up was so successful. No one even mentioned that there was anything connected that connected the president's top people to the break-in at Watergate Hotel. But that started to unravel. But did Congress talk about impeachment then? No. The Democrats were in control of the House and the Senate. Did they say, oh, we've got to have an impeachment now? No, they did nothing. They did nothing. And then the American people spoke. Nixon fired the special prosecutor who was trying to get information about him, and the American people said, that's it. Enough is enough. We can't have a president who is above the law. We can't have a president stop investigations. We are not a banana republic. We are the United States of America and the Congress. You have to act. And they forced the Congress to act. It was the American people where it concerns Nixon. As a matter of fact, it was the people of the United States versus Richard Milhouse Nixon. And it's so critical to remember that. People are saying now, why should we have impeachment? We have the Democrats in charge. That's enough. Checks and balances are restored. Who needs it? Holtzman says, well, we had checks and balances in regard to Nixon. We had the Democrats controlling the House and the Senate. And we had the President of the United States. Why do we have to do impeachment if we had checks and balances? You see, the Constitution doesn't require the minimum. It requires the maximum. High crimes and misdemeanors. We can't have a president of the United States who puts himself above the rule of law if we want to continue with this democracy. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. The fact that we have checks and balances does not mean that we are not obliged to remove the person who threatens our democracy from the presidency. And it's not about revenge. The effort against Nixon was not about revenge. It's about violation of the law. And Holtzman says there are those who say this will disrupt Congress. There are some people who say that Congress can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Congress, during the impeachment of Nixon, did all the other business of the country, and the House Judiciary Committee did its job. Nothing was disrupted. And to those who say it divided the country, the impeachment of Nixon, it brought us together. How? We all recognize that we shared the same values as a country. The values being not a president, one person, not a party, not a political situation, but our commitment to the Constitution and to the rule of law. When we discovered that we shared those values, it strengthened us and united us. And I think all of us know that this president has at least committed acts that require an inquiry into handing up articles of impeachment from the House Judiciary Committee. Why did Bush drive us into war on the basis of deception? How did he do it? Where are the documents that show what he knew and when he knew it? That's critical because no American should have to give one drop of blood for a lie. Never! Who disagrees with that? You, Mr. Right-Winger, listening? Afraid you wet your pants if you called this program? Do you believe that Americans should die because of a lie? What exactly did Bush know about the torture and the mistreatment of detainees? What was he told about that, and when was he told about it? Why didn't he ever follow the law and bring to punishment, bring to accountability those who ordered torture? Why not? And what about Hurricane Katrina? Holtzman says, we never got all the emails from the White House. Yes, we need investigations of Halliburton. And yes, we need investigations of corruption. But we need to get investigations that will ultimately expose the lies and misconduct that amount to impeachable offenses. We could do those investigations, she says. We have to have a process that's fair, bipartisan, that the American people can support. We're here today to assure the framers of the Constitution, the veterans who fought in our wars, and the prior generations who brought us where we are today, that we are going to hold up our end of the bargain and preserve the Constitution for future generations and bring George W. Bush and Dick Cheney to account and to impeachment. Amen. And when, why, and how many innocent American citizens did this thug and his criminal enterprise illegally wiretap in direct violation of federal law in the FISA court? It goes on and on and on and on and on. Do you know how many articles of impeachment could be drawn against this monster, this twerp? How can you be a twerp and a monster at the same time? It's amazing to have the ability to send people to their deaths over a lie. To gut the Constitution, destroy the rule of law. And this son of a bitch just sits there. And if the Democratic Congress doesn't want to make waves, then it's up to you and me. It's up to us. As Holtzman says, it's up to the people to say, no, we're not going to let this pass. No. No. There will be accountability. And it has nothing to do with Bill Clinton and his girlfriend. It has everything to do with the utter and absolute subversion of law in this country. Now, that's where we are, Truth Seeker. That's where we are. Okay, we're a week past the election. Okay. The new Congress isn't even seated until after the first of the year. Okay. But what is it going to be? Business as usual. I like Pelosi's rules. You know, no, you're not going to take any gratuities. You're not going to take any tips. You're not going to get any free lunches. You're not going to, excuse me, you're not going to change a bill after we've already written it. We are going to put it out there for people to see it. Okay, that's great. That's good. But this rotten fish that has become the Bush crime family, how do you get rid of it? You cut it off at the head first. That's how you get rid of it.
Sometimes I'm happy, you know, this is... But wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
What? I really have become an advocate for impeachment. Now, we've talked about impeachment for the past 3 years, but there was nothing that could be done because there wasn't a Republican on the House Judiciary Committee or in the U.S. House, or for that matter in the Senate, if there had been a couple in the House, that would have impeached this criminal bastard, because every single Republican that is in the U.S. House, in the U.S. Senate, is equally a criminal bastard, every single one of them. If there was a way to turn them all out, this republic would benefit. But to listen to the talk now, that now, after all we've been through in 6 years of this corrupt, degenerate, constitution-tearing administration, to listen to the Democratic Party leadership now, you would think, okay, well, it's just business as usual. Now, a lot of people on the left will say, well, what do you expect, Malloy? The Democratic Party, the Republican Party, they're cut from the same cloth. They're just different shades, but same cloth. I can't accept that, not yet. You know, I've been battered with that for about 10 years now, 15 years now. I can't, even during the Clinton years, you know, triangulation and the DLC and so on and so on and so on. And yes, I've got enough proof. So do you. We've got enough proof. The Democratic Party is nothing but Republican light. But didn't the just past 6 years, didn't it show us something? Didn't it show us that the Republicans as presently constituted, and I don't care if it's a religious right that has its tentacles in the Republican Party, or the Chambers of Commerce that has its tentacles in the Republican Party, or the neo-Nazis that have their tentacles in the Republican Party, or the neoconservatives that have their tentacles in there. It doesn't matter. They have strangled it. They have murdered it. The Republican Party is nothing but a collection of spiritual and physical criminals. So where does that leave Democrats? Could it be any clearer, any plainer to you, to me? I don't think so. I mean, I'm pretty satisfied. Like I said, I'm a high school graduate. I can take a look at what has been put in front of my face for 6 years now and say, oh, well, damn, that's against everything this country is supposed to be about. We need to get rid of those people. And the irony here is that a true conservative agrees. I'm not talking about you mouth-breathing neo-Nazi freaks. You know, you really have been made irrelevant, whether you know it or not. Decent people in this country are going to make sure this republic survives. But that includes the removal from office. Publicly, clearly, constitutionally, peacefully, and legally. Every aspect of the Bush administration, all of them, every one of these rotten bastards needs to be taken out legally and peacefully. By the rule of law. The rule of law that they talked about and flaunted through in our faces. Doesn't anybody remember 98, when it was 98, 99, 98, right? Remember the trial of Bill Clinton in the U.S. Senate? Remember the impeachment hearings in the Republican-controlled House? Don't you remember 65% of the American public was saying, no, what the hell are you guys doing? And they went ahead with it anyway. All of those right-wing, creepy, cretin little Republicans from Henry Hyde to Bob Barr, just on and on and on. These disgusting, contemptible little rats that were trying to so poison the political atmosphere that most of us would say, okay, well, hell with it, I'm out. I'm out of the system. Goodbye. You guys go ahead and play your game. I'm out of here. That's what they were trying to do, and they damn near succeeded. So now what do we do? Are we going to sit back and say, oh, okay, well, let's let bygones be bygones. Let's move ahead. If we do that, we are building, we're trying to rebuild this republic on a corrupt, rotten, filthy, worm-eaten foundation. And it will collapse. Come on. We don't need to be brain surgeons to figure this one out, right? Remove these bastards. Get rid of Bush and Cheney. Peacefully and legally and constitutionally, and do it as soon as this Congress is seated in January. That's the answer to that problem.
Stones that you throw. You think the same old.
I
I've reminded the Prime Minister, the American people, Mr. Prime Minister, over the past months that it was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
Oh, God. I'd impeach him just because he's such a dumbhead. All right, who we got here? Mark is calling from New York State. Oh, our webmaster. Hey, Mark.
Hey there. Hey, well, you know, I got to call at least once or twice per network.
Yeah, that's
hey,
very
listen,
true.
First of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, I just got to. My personal opinion here is that, you know, Nova M had a lot of foresight in getting you up there, and the buttheads over at the other. Never mind.
Yeah, let bygones be got bygones, right? Just like George Bush. Why impeach him? You know, he's just another criminal. Right?
Okay, look, first of all, the monstrous twerp, or the twerpy monster, however you want to refer to him,
yeah.
I just want to say you should give a disclaimer on the air, okay? Because what happens, there are those of us that when you start talking about him, like, being, you know, cuffed and perp-walked and put in
right.
a cell, there's this involuntary pulsing of the lower regions that kind of starts happening, you know, because you need to somehow say at the beginning that, you know, this isn't real, just, you know, okay?
Well, look, Mark, you know, we get our thrills where we can, right?
Yes, we do. And speaking of, the Nancy Pelosi and the rules, there's hope yet. You know, I had written her off along with the Kerry and all the
yes.
you know, the leadership a long time ago. And, you know, lobbying is, man, this is something that should have been dealt with a very long time ago. So, you know, kudos to her for having done that. Now, I only got two more things on my list, and I'll get out of your hair. Reverend Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's real or not.
I don't know. Well, somebody back in the home office during the break said, yeah, he's called in to Dr. Mike Newcomb a couple of times. Yeah.
Well,
he sounds like that guy from the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas.
Yeah, totally.
You know, the God hates fags guy that
yeah.
his entire congregation are all his family members, even the ones that were, you know, whose mother and father are still brother and sister.
Yes, with the eyes too close together and they play
yes.
banjo. Yes, absolutely.
Right. Right.
Look, Reverend Bill, I'm not a religious man, okay? I'm very much, Mike, you and I are, we run the same track on this. But my grandfather was a minister in the Congregational Church for 60 years in New England, okay?
Wow.
And I just got to say, Reverend Bill, Jesus hung with hippies and hookers, okay? You know, he spent time finding common bonds between people
yeah.
and not dividing people the way that people are dividing people now. You know, it's what we promise as progressives is that, you know, people will get connected and we'll relate to each other. So, you know, if that's who you want to be, then that's who you want to be. But other than that, stop quoting that man because you're
really,
you're not well, worth big. You quoting him?
Let me back up just a second. Your grandfather was a congregational minister.
He was in New England.
That's rocks. That's coming over on the Mayflower.
Yes, absolutely, yes. My family did. In fact, you're absolutely right. Sure.
I didn't know that about you. All
yeah,
the time.
Sure. My grandfather. I'll say him by name. My grandfather, the Reverend Charles Monblow, was the minister of the Pilgrim Congregational Church in Harwichport, Massachusetts, for 50 years. And before that, he was a minister in two other churches. But, yeah, he was through New England his whole life. He married, he baptized and married and buried a whole boatload of people
oh my
in
God.
A bunch of
well,
towns.
You know, the times that we've hung out together in New York, you with your long black cape.
Yeah. Yes, but, hey, look, yeah, I come from.
I didn't know this about you, Mark.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, you learn something new every day.
You look a little bit like a pilgrim, come to think of it.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's where my family comes from, you know. All right, look, just two other things.
Okay.
Here.
Well, one other thing. You've already had one. You got one more.
Okay, well, I just want to say for there are a bunch of – it's very easy to discount everybody in the government now because of who they are and what the party affiliations are. But I just want to say for the record that through all of this, pre-9/11 and post-9/11, there have been a bunch of people who work for the government who are honest, hardworking people who believe in this country for what it's supposed to be and believe in the laws the way they're supposed to be interpreted, who work in the intelligence agencies and have come forth both pre- and post-9/11 to complain about the way that intelligence things were dealt with and the way that information was not passed or was passed, and they are professionally castrated by the government.
That's true.
They're whistleblowers. And there's an organization of whistleblowers called the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. You can see their website at nswbc.org. And these are all people who have come forth and risked their professional lives.
Now, what's the website again? Slow.
It's nswbc.org. The woman who runs it is Sybil Edmonds, who everybody knows. She was the whistleblower who got completely gagged by Congress.
Right.
This is an organization totally of people who went out on a limb working for the government to whistleblow and say, hey, look, you know, this is what's going on and people should know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, their jobs are either taken away or threatened. So I just wanted to say, support them, because they're the good guys in all of this, and they've been hanging on through the melee that all of us have been experiencing from the outside.
Yeah, that's a good point. And for people who think that Mark talks too fast, it's
nswbc.org. That's National Security Whistleblowers Coalition.org. And yeah, I do talk too fast. Sorry.
Well, that's all right, Mark.
And one last note. And when you guys hear Mike say my name at the end of a broadcast, please don't think of me. Think of the people who moderate the Mike Malloy Forum, okay? Because they are there day in and day out for no pay for years now. They get no, you know, adulation for what they do, but they're the people who keep this place running.
Just like you.
Well, thank you. So think of them when you hear my name.
Just like you, the no pay part.
Yeah, well, yeah, but we do it for the love. Of
it.
Well,
it's a labor of love. I should mention the moderators at the message board at MikeMalloy.com. You're absolutely right. That board has been going for how long now?
Since it's been two networks now.
Two networks ago, I should mention more often. All right, good points. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, listen, good hearing your voice, and welcome back to the airwaves, man. We missed you.
Thanks. Give us a call sometime. There's a couple things we need to update on the website.
You got it. I'll call you tomorrow morning.
All right, thanks,
Mark. Take care, folks.
You bet. Take care. And his website is MaximumInteractive.com. It's okay for him to call Kathy. Kathy is like, no, come on. He's, you know, he's a friend. No, he's calling because he has some things to say, and we like to think that everybody is a friend that listens to this program, all 130 of the listeners.
No, we love Mark, and he knows that. And Mike, we have another caller from New York on the line.
Another flying monkey? Oh, my God, two in a night. Well, I asked for him. Harry is calling from New York. Harry, welcome to the program.
Hey, justice delayed is justice denied.
That's true. That's very true.
And what are you going to do now? Your liberals have taken over the house there with Murtha, that corrupt abscam guy. What are you going to do?
What did he do? What did he do in abscam?
Took money from a bunch of Muslims.
No, he didn't.
You're a hypocrite.
No, I tell the truth. And so
you're a phony, Malloy.
Well, what do you mean he took money? Who says he took money?
They got video.
No, on the tape, don't you remember? It was on the news again tonight on ABC. He was asked, well, how about $50,000? He said, no, I'm not interested. Can't you guys ever get anything straight?
Wait a minute, you liberal freak. He said...
Go ahead.
He said he's not interested at this point, maybe later. What kind of liberal, you know,
can you not understand English? Is there something about you people that you can't under, don't tell me you're going to lecture me about corruption. Your party invented corruption.
Well,
When the man sits there and says he didn't take it, if you're going to call me Malloy, put a mister in front of it.
Mr. Malloy.
If the man is going to sit there and say on national television, not knowing he was being videotaped, the only ones that were convicted are the Republicans. What's wrong with you? Can't. See, this is the reason you guys will never, ever be in power again.
Mr. Malloy.
Because, A,
Mr. Malloy, you
don't know up from down. B, you lie.
Mr. Malloy, you were a lot more interesting when the corrupt Republicans were.
You want to talk about delay? How about Abramoff?
I don't know, how about
Cunningham?
Look,
Duke Cunningham.
We lost.
No, how about Bob Ney? Let's talk about Ney. No, I know. Let's talk about that guy from New York.
You're going to give me a chance to speak?
Why? Why bother? You have nothing to say but bat squeeze.
Keep defending your party.
What?
I don't defend.
It's not my party. This
you're
Democratic
no
party
than
is
Limbaugh,
not my
only
party.
You're in reverse.
What?
You're like Rush Limbaugh, only in reverse now.
What does that mean?
Anything the Democrats do, Mr. Malloy loves.
Are you out of your freaking mind? Get rid of him. Hang up on him.
You're
because
the liberal
this guy
version
doesn't.
Of Rush.
This guy doesn't listen to the program. If he listened to the program, go away, Harry. Go away. If this guy ever listened to the program, this is the only thing I would ask you freaks to do. If you want to call in and debate or argue or just talk bad language, you know, I couldn't care less. Call in. But for God's sake, at least know the program. I don't defend liberals. I sat here, Democrats, I sat here tonight suggesting that the Democratic Party is not going to do what it should do, and that is hold the party of a moron like this guy accountable, the head of the party. Wow. I mean, the way he talked. It's just too much. You liberal freak. Well, all right. Yeah, I'll go along with that. I am liberal, and I am a freak. Yeah, okay. But that's not an insult. An insult is what the Republicans under George W. Bush have done to this country for the past 6 years. That's an insult. And this idiot calls me up and tries to lecture me about MRTHA? That's the best they got. That's the best they got. Jack MRTHA saying no 26 years ago to an FBI undercover agent. That's the best they got.
For me to say I didn't have pictures with the guy when I did. I mean, people, as part of the job of the president, is to shake hands and with people and smile.
I'm surprised Harry didn't get around to Robert Byrd being in the Klan. No, I invite Republicans, right-wingers, Bush-suckers, freaks, losers, banditos to call the program. And calling me a liberal freak is, that's fine with me. But for heaven's sake, can't you have just a little bit of your of the riff you're going to lay on me? Can't just part of it be true? Just to make the conversation a little bit more interesting, I don't expect Republicans to ever be totally true about anything about the who their mama is or where they went to school or you know where they made their money. The Republicans by their nature lie, and it's okay. I mean, most normal people have gotten used to that idea. Oh, Republicans talking? Oh, well, it must be lies. That's not the point. The point is if you want to criticize what you hear on this program, and we're certainly open to criticism, oh my God, come on, bring it on. Bring it on. But at least know what is being said on the show. Can you do that? Is there any way that you can at least be on point where it concerns? Well, Malloy has said many times that Mr. Malloy has said many times that the Democratic Party leadership has failed as Democrats. I mean, I guess not. That's too nuanced.
Oh, he knew what was being discussed on the show, just not this show. He apparently has complete Rush Limbaugh transcripts in front of him and quoting, if I dare say, liberally from them.
Well. Don't be discouraged. If you are a conservative or you're a Bush sucker or one of those sorts of degenerates, we still welcome you. I've said before, I'm not a priest, but we definitely offer absolution and forgiveness on this program. If you come with an attitude, okay, that's cool too. But if you come contrite and wanting to we'll give you some Hail Marys, some Our Fathers, a couple of acts of contrition, everything will be okay. Oh, and a bag of snakes. All right, back to your phone. Just let me know. I'm more than happy to do it. You know. But if, you know, if you're going to call the program, you'll say, I'm Malloy. See, it's the way that's said. If you're going to say it like that, put Mr. in front of it, okay? You know, I may not, you know, I may have met your mother someplace, but I don't know you. And until you and I meet, I think you should call me Mike or you know, or liberal freak. That'll do. Liberal freak is okay.
I'm getting confused. Did that one want to pray into hell, too?
No, he's calling from hell. I have no idea. All right, back to your phone calls. Will is calling from Michigan. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Malloy, you liberal freak.
Mr. Malloy to you, Will.
Hey, did you hear that Al Jazeera is launching an English broadcast tomorrow?
I thought they already had an English broadcast service.
No, they haven't done an English broadcast for 10 years.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they're launching it tomorrow at noon Greenwich Mean Time, which I think is around 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and this is a good thing or a bad thing? Or
well, from everything I've read on their website, they seem to be one of the most ethical news media organizations in the world. They make a clear distinction between news and opinion and analysis, you know, they give a wide, you know, a diverse view of world events. And
well, I think it'd be a good thing to have. No matter how objective they try to be, they're going to be just like, to some degree, American news reporting organizations. There will be a slant that favors the Arab-speaking world, just like there's a slant on the BBC that favors the UK. There's a slant on American media that favors the United States, Chinese, yada, yada, yada. But given all that, I think it will be good to have another news source in English. I guess I have been reading, when I do go to Al Jazeera, I guess I go to the English translation of what is being reported, and there is an awful lot lost, it's my understanding, in translating from Arabic to English and vice versa.
Right.
So they will be broadcasting in English.
Yep, broadcasting and streaming live on the internet.
That'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. We'll probably try to capture some of their sound and play it on this program. That'll be very interesting.
One other thing I wanted to mention, I agree with you on impeachment, but I don't think it's practical with the makeup of the Senate. It's a very slim majority, and impeachment without a conviction is just a waste of time.
Well, doesn't it just take a simple majority in the Senate? It takes
right,
and we have that.
No, it doesn't take a simple majority.
Oh, it takes 60?
It takes a two-thirds majority.
Oh, does it? I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, my bad. That's right. Two-thirds majority.
And we don't have that unless you can get a bunch of Republicans to break party ranks.
Yeah, there was a time when some Republicans had just a tad of honor where such a thing would happen. I think that would have happened had Nixon gone to trial. In the Senate, but Republicans now are corrupt totally. So, yeah, on the other hand, if the American people are saying, I realize democracy does not mean mob rule, but if the American people are saying impeach, I think we should.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Will.
Thanks.
All right, take care. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. Maybe there's a public way to impeach, like a people's court. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. A couple of emails here. First of all, regarding Al Jazeera, Reg at TVNewsLies.org writes, Dave Marish, you remember him? He worked for Nightline, the big dude, had a beard. He was in Iraq a lot, right, Kathy? He understands the Middle East. Dave Marish, who last worked for Nightline on ABC News, will be the U.S. anchor at the new English-speaking channel, Al Jazeera. But there is no cable supplier for Al Jazeera English in the United States. The broadcast will be on satellite, and it can be accessed online at english.aljazeera.net. English.aljazeera.net. I always thought Dave Marish was an excellent reporter. This is from Ron. Mike, your caller Will in Michigan just asserted that without a conviction, an impeachment trial would be just a waste of time. I agree with him that it would be difficult, if not impossible, to get a two-thirds majority to vote for conviction in the Senate, but I strongly disagree with him that it would be a waste of time. I think we have to get it on the record for posterity that we at least tried to get justice. And also to serve notice to current and future office holders that they will be held accountable for their misdeeds. I know that the attitude is, look, the Democrats have been out of power for 12 years. This is a bad time, you know, since they get power to start impeachment. But if not now, when? And if not this moron, who? And he's not being impeached because he's a moron, although I wish that were an impeachable offense. He's being impeached, or he should be impeached, because he violated the law. He meets the constitutional requirement for removal from office, much less just being indicted. You know, Bush, either because Rove told him to say it, or because Bush really doesn't understand what the duties of the President of the United States include, still runs around talking about how his most important job is to protect us, to protect the American people. No, it isn't. There is nothing in the oath of office or in the Constitution that talks about the president protecting the American people. He is to protect and defend the Constitution. He has dropped his trousers and crapped all over the Constitution. What did he call it? His words, that goddamn piece of paper. That's why he should be removed from office. He has no respect for the document that he swore he took an oath to uphold. And I do believe, with the majority of Americans saying this jerk has to be removed from office legally and peacefully, I don't understand why the Democratic Party leadership doesn't go ahead and instruct the House Judiciary Committee to begin holding hearings, public hearings. The business of the United States will be conducted by the responsible members of the Democratic Party who are now in positions to conduct that business responsibly. The House Judiciary Committee will not be passing any more of Bush's neo-Nazi nominations out to the full House for the next 2 years. So forget that. What else does the House Judiciary Committee do? Well, there are many things that they do. Among them is the responsibility to open an impeachment hearing when the President of the United States commits high crimes and misdemeanors, or an accusation is made that he has created or committed high crimes and misdemeanors. Bush and Cheney have to be removed from office peacefully and legally. And I don't mean in 2008. I mean now. The damage that they can still do is immeasurable. They had their chance. They stole the election fair and square in 2000, and they stole it again in 2004, and they tried in 2002, and they tried to steal it in 2006. But enough Democrats turned out to say no, hell no, hell no. Now it's time to get rid of them. What do you do, Mr. or Ms. talk show liberal radio listener, when your physician tells you, as they did in my case, you have a lump on your thyroid? What do? You have it removed. That's what you do. And you pray, or the atheistic equivalent of prayer, that it was not cancerous. But when you have a lump, you get rid of it. When you have something that's threatening your health, you excise it. Bush and Cheney have corrupted the entire process. They have to be removed from office as soon as possible, legally and peacefully and constitutionally. Get these bums out of here. Where are we? Yeah, okay, in my case, I waited for a year before I had the surgery. If you want to know, if you insist on knowing. Alan is calling from Miami. Alan, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, well, doing the best I can under the circumstances. You're really right, of course, on the impeachment thing. I and people I know have been calling it for a while. It's just that crimes have been committed. And if people who are our elected representatives don't follow through to investigate the crimes, much less even recognize them, they become accessories to the crime.
Don't they? Yeah, well, it would seem to me, yeah.
And so I think in practical terms, I can understand them politically not wanting to go jump in and say, now we're in office, we're going to go immediately go in and impeach and blah, blah, blah. So maybe the more practical way to go about it is to insist on some of the more public things like, deep investigation into the corruption in Iraq, the money going to the private companies, mm-hmm. who signed what contract, the missing $8 billion, the weapons that disappeared. If you go investigate a couple of those things seriously and publicly, impeachment is right down the road.
Well, you're right, and you may be explaining to us what the Democratic Party leadership plan is to hold these investigations, these hearings, subpoena witnesses who heretofore have hidden behind Dick Cheney's criminality and refused to testify. So maybe that is, and other people are suggesting that, Alan, that just hold the hearings on specific areas of malfeasance or whatever you want to call it, and let the American public hear.
But the serious crimes of really, besides those contracts are easy to find. The ones that should be, nobody's really talking about why we went to Iraq. That's still been left up mm-hmm. in the air. And of course, we went there to build the bases, and that's the reason. Of course, they don't want to leave. They will use any excuse in the world. The reason why people are seem to be baffled. Well, why can't they understand that it's chaos and it's murder and this and that, and that it doesn't help to stay there an extra day because each day we stay gets worse. Well, the thing is, they don't want to leave because they're digging in their heels in terms of the bases. But right. Nobody, I don't hear a Democrat talking about those bases.
That's true. That's
and,
very
and
true.
And you think, until that comes out into the daily news, the newspaper should be screaming about this. That's the reason we're there. That was the project of the New American Century, to put those bases there. And what I find so amazing is that, to me, that is the number one cause of the war, and it's the one thing that has not been talked about when it could have been talked about. And what worried me during the run-up to the election, which is one of the few times in our history where real people actually listen and think for a little while, mm-hmm. they didn't take advantage of the people paying attention and talk about the fact that that the war was brought home. Our Constitution was under a full frontal attack.
That's very true. Alan, good points. Thank you. Let me leave it there. I appreciate you checking in, pal. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
When there's body parts strewn all the kingdom come, so I ask you, George, our unelected czar.
Governments don't love. Governments can dispense law and justice, but not love.
Oh, okay. Wisdom from Chairman George. The other topic I wanted to get to tonight, looks like we're not going to get to it in depth at all, is what has happened with this this move by the Bush, the head of the real head of the Bush crime family. No, not Barbara Bush, but George Herbert Herbert Bush, who's kind of tried to maintain a hands-off attitude as his son has spun totally out of control, with death and destruction and violation of treaties and gutting regulations at home and just being just like a three-year-old on a tantrum. While at the same time displaying a kind of arrogance that surely must stick in George Herbert Herbert Bush's throat, even though it is his own offspring. It's hell. I know sometimes when Molly, who is 27 months old, when she throws a tantrum, you know, it's everything that Kathy and I can do to just let her just throw it. If it gets too bad, it's time out and she goes to her room. And then she gets hysterical. But we only leave her in there for, what's the rule? 1 minute for every year the kid is. So 2 minutes, and Molly's starting to learn now when she comes out of her room that she doesn't want to go back there, not under those conditions. Well, George, there's no room to send George W. Bush to. So George Herbert Herbert has kind of sat back and watched this out-of-control jerk just careen around the stage, the White House, internationally. Now he's on his way where? To Indonesia? What's he going to disrupt over there? It's just incredible. Until finally, with retired military officers, active duty military officers, former members of Congress, former members of Herbert Herbert's cabinet speaking out and saying, what in the hell is going on with this kid? 60-year-old kid. Rein him in, Herbert Herbert! So they bring in the usual clutch of criminals, the Carlyle Group. Read Will Pitt's essay at truthout.org about all this. If what's the name of it? The Carlyle, oh, come on. I just had it in front of me. The Carlyle White House by Will Rivers Pitt. It's at truthout.org, and Will just put it up today, the Carlyle White House. So they bring in the more refined criminals. You know, Cheney and Rumsfeld and Abramoff and the rest of these people, they would be an embarrassment to the mafia. You know, these are street punks. These are thugs. Oh, my God. You know, mafia family members had an awful lot of their offspring in World War II fighting for the freedom to come back to America and do organized crime. But these Republican thugs, never mind. Let's send some of those Latino people. That'll be good. So with everything going to hell, and then with the midterm elections, where even with the Diebold machine set to give the Republicans win after win after win, even with the scummy, filthy, filthy attack tactics of the right wing, the lies and the deceptions, trying to get Democrats not to vote, even with 2 million Democratic voters purged on and on and on, the American public came out and said, you people have gone far enough, you sons of bitches, you've gone far enough. Well, then, let's bring in the more refined criminals. Let's bring in James Baker and Robert Gates and Brent Scowcroft and Henry Kissinger. Just bring these boys in here now. Come on. Junior's out of control. Jesus God, we have to keep rescuing this twerp. We started rescuing him when he was 22. So here they are. Read Will Rivers Pitt's a piece at Truth Out. Read the current issue of Newsweek. And it couldn't have been a great weekend for the moron at Prairie Chapel last weekend, knowing he had to fire his surrogate daddy, that would be Rumsfeld, and start listening to his own actual daddy, not his daddy in heaven, as he said, and watching daddy bring in the old crew. Here they come! All right, Junior, you screwed up, and God and Jesus aren't going to help you. James Baker is going to take you to the woodshed and beat your ass, you know? Jesus may look down on you and say, "Ah, my son, it's time to invade another country." But James Baker is going to say, "What the hell are you doing?" So it must have been a rough weekend, not that I care. This guy needs to go. George W. Bush needs to go. He needs to go legally, peacefully, and constitutionally. And so does that cyborg who, remember back in, when was it, 99, when they hired Cheney to go find a running mate for Bush? And Cheney looked under this rock and behind that cactus and over there hanging out of a tree, and he looked in a couple of sewers, and then he said, "Oh, I know! It'll be me!" Scum.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Way up to here, way up to here. 26 before the hour. All right, back to the phone calls. Steve is calling from Chicago. Steve, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Thank you, Mike. It's very good to have you back.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My designated cathartic.
You're right.
Listen, 2 points. One, many people have said this already, but I don't think John Conyers has given up on anything. And I think they're going to probe, and I think they're going to subpoena, and they're going to see what they can get, and they got to count to 67. And if they can't count to 67, I don't think they're going to go for it.
Really? Even though it would be, as one of our emailers said tonight, at least it would be on the record that the Democrats tried to preserve...
I think it would be politically more of a disadvantage than an advantage, as satisfying as it would be. But that's an opinion. And remember, Sam Ervin's panel was a whole year before Elizabeth Holtzman. So there's a long time and a lot of probing that's going to go on first.
Well, I'm beginning to think maybe, you know, I will continue to push for impeachment because I think that that justice needs to be, you know, this country is famous. The United States is famous for talking about justice and not dispensing it. I don't care what group has been targeted or what group has been denied voting rights or equal rights or human rights or rights because of, you know, they've been demonized because of their sexual orientation or their skin color, yada, yada, yada. We talk a great story about justice in this country, and I think we're really slow in delivering justice. And this is, to me, it's a matter of justice. It's a matter of the rule of law. It was the Republicans who spent a year chanting like so many dwarves the rule of law, rule of law, rule of law. It's like something from a Todd. Oh, what was his name? The guy that did the movie Freaks.
Yeah, one of us.
Browning.
Todd Browning. Yeah, it's like something from a Todd Browning movie. But my point here is I hear what you're saying. And what you're saying, what a lot of people are saying, probably makes more sense. Hold the hearings, do the investigations, let the evidence surface, let the American people look at it, and let the demand come from the American people. Maybe that's the way to go. I will continue to push for impeachment though, because I think these people are absolute criminals.
I think you're right. I have a second point quickly.
Sure.
And this goes to just what you were saying, justice. I'm not a tort lawyer, and I don't really know, but I think in a wrongful death suit, the settlements generally run north of $500,000 or more.
Right.
And we've got a million wrongful deaths on our hands. And I don't hear anybody talking about reparations.
All right. Now, what
we owe these people.
Oh, the Iraqis.
We yeah. owe them.
Yeah, that's very true. We also owe something, do we not? Or somebody owes something to the families in this country who have contributed family members into this meat grinder that Bush conjured up out of his sick mind.
Absolutely.
We're in a world of world of hurt here. I'm not sure exactly what way to go, but I think most of us knew that this day would come when these right-wingers would be driven from office, and all of a sudden, the good guys, the people in the white hats, would be standing there looking at the carnage, looking at the burned-out villages, looking at the blown-up buildings and the corpses laying around, and saying, "Oh Jesus, how do we clean this up? How do we rectify this? How do we bring these people back to life? How do we bring these buildings back where they, house families and businesses?"
The ecosystem.
Well, how about the legal system?
Yeah.
So,
We owe them. Big time. Thank
you. All right. Well, listen, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it, Steve. I hear what you're saying, and it makes good sense. Take care. Kathy is calling from New York. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. I wanted to say that was not a real New Yorker calling you before.
It wasn't?
The liberal freak guy.
Oh, yeah?
He was not a real New Yorker. We real New Yorkers love you. We're so happy to have you back. So happy that we found you on Nova M.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
And I also just wanted to ask you real quick, Mike. Joe Klein's got a big article in Time this week about moving to the center. And I wanted to know if you thought truly that this election was won in the center. I know you've talked about it a bit in the past few days, and I've missed some of your shows, so I just kind of wanted to get your feedback.
I don't think so at all. In the first place, Joe Klein is an absolute right-winger, and he is trying, like so many right-wingers who write for news magazines, he's trying to spin this election to make it appear as though conservatism is the winner, not the Democratic Party.
Right.
And I disagree with that completely. Some of the candidates who ran in the Democratic Party may have had a position on these contrived wedge issues that seem to be different from what we've come to believe are traditional Democrats, i.e., guns, gays, and God. Okay, that's where they like to go. Abortion, guns, gays, and God. I'm sure that there are some Democrats who are now going to be in the Congress, whether it's the House or the Senate, who might have a different position on those particular wedge issues, position different from, say, yours or from mine. But that doesn't, to me, that doesn't mean anything. I think that everyone who was elected on the Democratic ticket, up to and including Reagan's former Navy secretary in Virginia, Jim Webb, are all liberals. I really do believe that. I don't, and I think the people who put them into office were for the most part liberals. We had our fling, our one-night stand, let's call it, with this conservative whore that promised us all kinds of stuff. You know, oh, yeah, well, we're going to do that. You remember the contract with America? We called it the contract on America. it's like nothing against sex workers, but it's like a prostitute, male or female, who's, hey, come here. Hey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And you go do it and then find out it wasn't what the prostitute promised. And I think that's exactly what the Republican Party has become. Nothing but a huge, bloated, ugly hoe. And I think the American people said enough. So, no, I don't think that this can be read any way other than a turn to the left and therefore a turn back toward liberalism, which is what made this country the great country that it used to be.
Absolutely. It's just that they're giving Chuck Schumer and Rahm Emanuel a great amount of credit for bringing centrist candidates, to the table. And my fear is that we're going to you know, we're going to just have more centrist candidates for 2008, which is what I don't think we need in 2008.
I'm having a bit of problem understanding who, you know, if these candidates were really centrist. Now, I know the argument you're making. My friend Shelley Drobny made the same argument.
I don't believe it, Mike. I'm just trying to make sense of it, actually.
Yeah. Well, so am I. So, but I've heard that position, that point of view, that, you know, all of a sudden we got a lot of centrists in there when we should have left-wing liberal Democrats or maybe drifting over towards Bernie Sanders, over towards democratic socialism. I don't particularly agree with the idea, whoever puts it out, even my boss, Shelley Drobny, that Rahm Emanuel and Schumer and some of the DLC people were really all that successful in recruiting centrists. I think these Democrats that they, quote, recruited were probably in their heart of hearts of a liberal opinion, even people like Webb. So I don't know. I'm just okay. Very reluctant to say this was just an example of conservatism winning under a different banner, that it was conservative Democrats who won. I'm having a problem. Or even moderate Democrats. I'm having a problem with that one.
Right. And so it's hard to see, you know, Lieberman gloating about his centrist appeal when the truth is Republicans elected him.
Yeah. He ran as an independent, but he is now...
he was a Republican candidate.
Yeah, right. And the Republicans in Connecticut, this is their way of goofing on the U.S. Senate, you know, by putting Lieberman in there.
Right.
Because he really was, you know, Schlesinger, that poor Republican schmuck that ran in Connecticut, didn't have an ice cube's chance in hell. Lieberman was the Republican candidate. So,
exactly.
All right, you know, and he got enough Democrats along with the Republican. What did I read? 80% of the Republican vote in Connecticut went for Lieberman.
I believe that's right.
What does that say? You know,
it
says he's a Republican. That's all.
All right. So. Well, thank you so much, Mike.
All right,
really
Kathy.
Thank you so much in New York.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll be back on a radio station there eventually. Trust me.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right. Take care. Take care. Paula is calling from Bayonne, New Jersey. Paula, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
First of all, I need to say hi for all my friends on the Truth Seekers Reddit DU.
Okay. Who are you at DU?
I'm Smokey and Jay.
Smokey and Jay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
And Keys East Coast wants me to ask you to send them a bag of snakes. If you're sending some out to Reverend Bill, he wants you to send them some. And your congregation on the thread, we're all praying for Reverend Bill to get a big fat boil on his ass.
So, that'll keep him out of the military anyway.
You know.
Oh, no, wait, that was Limbaugh. Never mind.
That was Limbaugh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, as far as Harry from New York.
Yeah?
Calling you a liberal and liberal freak.
Yeah, yeah.
And Reverend Bill calling you an atheist.
Yeah.
To those gentlemen, I want to say, to a liberal and an atheist, those words are not insults. That's clearly what we are. We just stop using them as insults.
That's right. I felt for a moment there like Brer Rabbit, you know, saying to Brer Wolf or Brer Fox, don't throw me in that briar patch.
Yeah, please just stop. It drives me up a wall.
I know. I understand.
And as far as the impeachment thing goes, I think when Democrats say it's off the table, I think they're being politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't take it off the table until investigations are done. And polls show that a majority of Americans would support impeachment if it's shown that Bush led us into the war. Well, he did.
You'd think, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you think that the majority of Americans would say, oh, my God, if he lied us into a war, which he did, he's got to be removed from office and tried for treason or mass murder or something. Hey, you want? Have you got some more? Hold on a second. I got to do a break here. All right, Paula?
Sure, no problem.
All right, just hold on. We'll take a quick break here and come back. This is Nova M Radio Network. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Cleaning up America, one flying monkey at a time. It's Mike Malloy.
Okay, back to back to Paula, who's called in from Bayonne. Paula, go ahead. Wrap it up for me.
Okay. Well, anyway, I was saying that, you know, once the rest of the time, we know about the Downing Street Minutes.
Right.
There are a lot of people who don't.
That's true.
Who don't follow, who don't know about it. And when they hear about it, I think there will be an outcry.
Well, you're in that group then, and I'm starting to think I probably need to get a grip on myself here and get in the same group that says investigate, question, hold hearings. The Congress will work just fine while these various committees and subcommittees hold hearings into this criminal enterprise and let the American people demand impeachment.
And even if, you know, holding them to justice takes, like, maybe even if Bush leaves office, it can't stop. I want to see Nuremberg-type trials.
Oh, I hear
with
that.
All of them on trial, all of them, every single one of them, even Colin Powell, even people who fled the administration, they all have to be held accountable because they are all responsible.
Well, I agree with you. While we were in the break, this email came in from Eric in Miami. It says, are we supposed to make believe that all the mental tortures we went through for the past 6 years were all a bad dream? If we do not only impeach, but put Bush to shame, there are Republicans out there who can't wait to finish the nightmare he started. Unless we send a strong message that this kind of behavior is not welcome, it'll happen again. So,
exactly.
Yeah,
and I think if Nixon hadn't been pardoned and been put to justice, we wouldn't be dealing with this stuff now.
I hear you. Paula, thanks for checking in. Call again, okay?
Thanks, Mike. Have a great night.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. Thanks to our crew. The program was engineered in Phoenix by Ian Huff. Billy Foster handled your calls tonight. Oh, by the way, happy birthday to Kim Macias, one of our occasional associate producers at Nova M Radio and KPCH in Phoenix. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. And thanks to Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com, who handles our website. And the militant moderators at MikeMalloy.com that Mark was talking about tonight, the people that maintained the message board there all these many years. Ben Birch, White Rose Society archives the program, and podcasting and downloads of this program now available at NovaMRadio.com. So thanks to everybody. The executive producer of this program is Catherine Bay. Gene is calling from New York. Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? There's some happy hijinks going on over at Fox News.
Somebody
leaked last Thursday's internal Thursday update memo to the Huffington Post, and it reads in part, be on the lookout for any statements from the Iraqi insurgents thrilled at the prospects of a Dem-controlled Congress.
Yeah, I saw that earlier this evening. Somebody sent me the link. I tried to print it off, and something at Huffington Post wouldn't allow me to print it. But, you believe that? These evil sons of bitches, these Fox News people are just scum. This is not a news network. It is nothing but absolute neo-Nazi propaganda. It's just incredible, isn't it?
Well, it gets even better because, now I'll caution you, this is from, one of my least favorite websites, World Nut Daily. Excuse me, World Net Daily. But this went up on the site this evening. From World Net Daily's Jerusalem Bureau, Fox News reporters freed for $2 million. Terrorists used cash for arms to, quote, hit Zionists, unquote. Payment said to encourage more abductions. If you skip down in the article, it states, Palestinian terror groups and security organizations in the Gaza Strip received $2 million from a United States source in exchange for the release of Fox News employees Steve Santani and Oleg Wig.
Is that
now,
right?
Hold on a second. What the hell is an American citizen doing paying off terrorists?
It must have been Murdoch.
It might have been Murdoch. I almost think it might have been someone more like, not necessarily personally, but more like Bob Perry, Mr. Swiftboat Money, trying to do a favor for Murdoch and the people who peddle his propaganda. I doubt Murdoch himself would want to dirty his hands, but I'm sure there are a lot of buddies of the mighty Fox Wurlitzer who'd be glad to put up the money to rescue a few of Murdoch's fellow travelers who are being held hostage. And the irony is, they've turned around and they've supported terrorism. Fox News' buddies are supporters of terrorism, and never forget that when you're flipping through the dial.
That's very true. They are supporters of terrorism. I've said before, when the lights go out, I want to be very close to O'Reilly and Hannity and some of those other people. In a more innocent age, when justice and decency and honor was still seen as admirable traits for this country, we put on trial propagandists like Hannity and Fox News and Bill O'Reilly. We put them on trial and charged them with treason. I guess those days are gone.
Well, they might be coming back if we can get a Democratic president in the White House. And getting to the subject of impeachment, I have a funny feeling that Cheney is going to meet with some kind of medical emergency that will require him to resign before the new Congress. But if it's not,
one can hope.
I said some months ago, though, on your show that if it does happen that we get a miracle and we get the Senate and we get the House and we manage to impeach Cheney first, because that's what I had been arguing, then picture what happens when Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid march into the White House and give him a list of the people who would be acceptable substitutes for Cheney, and that list consists of Al Gore and John Edwards.
That would be a wondrous moment. Thanks, Gene. I got to leave you there. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Checking.
You have
me,
a
right?
good night.
All right, you too. Thanks for participating, y'all, however you did that tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.